Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody, I'm Susie McIntyre, and we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church.
I'm Russ Weaver, and Susie, I'm so excited about this part. Last week, we started the series on hearing from God.
Yeah.
God said, "This is my beloved son, listen to him."
Can you imagine what that was like?
That would have been so cool.
Oh my gosh. That's the experience. That's better than Disney World, don't you think?
I would think so. At this
age,
yeah.
There is no comparison what that was.
The guy I relate to is Peter, because the first thing I do is open my mouth.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of a fan of Peter because
you put your foot in your mouth sometime.
I do.
And you're outspoken.
Yeah, I do. And I really enjoy awkward situations. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's kind of a sickness that I have, I guess.
Yeah.
But I can see when Peter, you know, he's just feeling awkward.
Right.
You know, and he just starts talking. You know, first thing comes to his mind, you don't have to read his mind. He's going to tell you.
Yeah.
And it says that God interrupted him. It said while Peter was talking, God said, you just interrupted him right off.
Hey, boy.
Yeah. He didn't even do that.
Right.
He said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him."
Listen to him.
In other words, Peter, shut up.
My goodness.
I mean, he wouldn't say that, but still.
Yeah, right.
So we're going to be talking today the part of communications and the part of listening to God has to do with two concepts. One is the concept of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, which is not just the Bible, which is logos, but it's rhema. That's when God makes the word of God personal and lightens it up or speaks to your heart directly. I've just almost preached too much here. I have a message to preach here in a little while. I got excited and kind of overshot it, didn't I?
Well, you are a little bit, this is the preview, and you have paid dearly for it, I have to say.
I have overshot the preview.
That's exactly right. Well, we may have a commercial or two. We're sorry about that, but just stick with us. Make that time to stretch your legs and sit back down, and let's go to Cowboy Church.
There's a brighter day waiting down the road for everyone with a heavy load. Truer love, a brand new start for everyone with a broken heart. Oh, the clouds are all gonna disappear. Sun's gonna dry up every tear. Before you know it, it'll be here. There's a brand new train waiting on the tracks. It's glory bound, it ain't coming back. Plenty of room when the whistle blows for the down and out and the weary soul. Oh, sometimes you feel like the world comes crashing down around you. Sometimes you wonder if you're ever gonna get out from under all the blues. There's a ship that's sailing across the sea of pain and sorrow and misery. Storms can rage and the rains can fall, but it won't change its course at all. Or sometimes you feel like the world comes crashing down around you. Sometimes you wonder if you're ever gonna get out from under all the blues. There's a brighter day waiting down the road for everyone with a heavy load. True love, brand new start for everyone with a broken heart. And there's a brand new train waiting on the tracks. It's glory bound, it ain't coming back. Plenty of room when the whistle blows for the down and out and the weary soul. And there's a ship that's sailing across the sea of pain and sorrow and misery. The storms can rage and the rains can fall. It won't change its course at all.
And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear.
It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word.
And just to rest upon his promise. And just to say, thus saith the Lord.
Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
There is a name I love to sing. I love to sing its worth, it sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Because he first loved me.
Father God, we love you today. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us, direct us. Thank you for being our partner. Thank you for being Lord of Lords to us, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, if there are those out there in our listening audience that are hurting, they are sick in their bodies, Lord, I pray for each one of them right now. And Lord, I ask you to heal them, to touch their bodies like you have touched mine, and help me, Lord, to be so much better. And with every minuscule step that we take toward the better, or maybe even go back, Lord, we're going to give you thanks because you are the only one that can make it better. We love you, Father, and praise your holy and mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you say, well, Russ, you're talking about Jesus talking to us. It's a lot easier if he just used words. It is. Except the problem with the words is everybody keeps changing the meanings of what they are. You know, if you were a bad guy, it used to be this, and then Michael Jackson came along and he says, I'm bad, and everybody thought he was good, and he really was bad. I don't understand. You know, it's hard to know what the definitions are. They keep changing. And you have to be really careful because you're going to say the wrong thing sometime and the definition is not going to work. But we need to be able to navigate the system. So knowing the times is important. And the second one in verse 17, he calls them a faithless and corrupt generation. This has completely everything to do with communications. We look at it like this. Faithless, faith cometh by what? Hearing, the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God is not just the Bible. It's when God speaks, and when God speaks, it's verified by the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if we're reading the Bible, and I know some of you have had this happen, this is called revelation that happens. You're reading the Bible along, and all of a sudden, something in the Bible fits you. It becomes alive to your system. It's a truth that God reveals to you, and it becomes a revelation. And when that happens, at that moment, God is speaking to you something that you need to hear. And when you're able to stand on that word that is spoken to you, that is called faith. Because up until that moment, it's not faith, it's hope. We're praying out of hope. We're praying out of desperation. But when God speaks through his word, through the voice that's on the inside, and I'll talk about that in a little while. When God speaks and tells you, because God's the only one that knows the future, he's the only one that knows what's ahead. We have indicators, but we don't have for sure. So we need to know God's word. And when we understand God's word and when God speaks to us, then we verify it with God's word. And when God speaks to us, we can stand on that moment because now we're not operating in hope. We're operating in faith. And the Bible says this, a faithless generation. Why? Because they haven't listened for God's voice. They haven't listened to God's indicators. They haven't listened. And because of that, he said, they're corrupted. Sometimes when we're communicating, the communications is corrupted. And the reason that things are corrupted is a lot of different reasons. One is we don't hear right. One is we hear what we want to hear, and we don't hear what God's actually trying to say. If we'll listen to what God has to say, then we'll become people of faith. And when we hear what God has to say, God is able to communicate to us what he wants us to hear, then the line is no longer corrupted. So how do we deal with the corruption that keeps us from hearing from God? I love this part. The corruption that keeps us from hearing from God, it's a real simple thing. God is holy. God is pure. And in order for us to get to a point where God can communicate to us the way he wants to, what we do by the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for our sins and forgiveness being applied to our life, then we're made pure, we're made holy, we're made right before God, our history no longer counts, and we can stand before God, and there's a purity of our communication that has been adjusted so we can begin to hear the voice of God. So basically, what has happened in the first couple of instances, we begin to understand the times and understand how God's speaking in that time and knowing when his speaking fits this time or the other time. The other one is about faith and listening and hearing the word of God, both live and in his word, and learning how to keep our lives from being corrupted. The second area that the scripture speaks is this. John 10, 27 and 28 has this interesting statement. It says, my sheep know my voice. I feel like God uses sheep for a particular instant or a particular reason when he begins to explain his people are sheep, because sheep are some of the less intelligent entities on earth. And even with their lack of intelligence, one thing that they have the ability to do is to pick up the tone and
structure of the voice of the person who is the shepherd. He said, my sheep, if they're mine, if I've committed my life to Christ, I'm his. And when I'm his, the interesting thing that happens is I become a child of God, and I begin to hone in and tune in, and I begin to communicate with God, and I become a son of God, and I become one of the sheep who may not be able to do anything else, but I know what God said. And when I know what God said about the situation, then I can function in complete confidence that where we're going, it's going to work. Now, the next item I want to look at is the Word of God in Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was, hang on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to explain that Jesus Christ, what John chapter 1, all the book of John is about Jesus. And he said, Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. This is what he has to say to us, but Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, when the heavens and the earth were created, the Bible said that God speaks. What that means is, through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ himself, creation happened. God is the Word. God, the Word, is his Son, Jesus. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and now working in the times that we live in, about knowing the times, the Holy Spirit is the activator of the times. Now, I want to take you back to the Tower of Babel. If I could look into your living room there, I'd like for you to say, how many of you know about the Tower of Babel? Raise your hand, and you'd raise your hand, and then I see that hand, and we would do something like that, but I can't see you. So we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel had one distinct entity about it. They were building it to get to heaven out of pride. And what God did, God confused their language. He confused their language where they could no longer communicate with each other. And they went to separate areas of the world and began to speak their own language. And there was no communications between people that used to be in communications with each other. They didn't understand each other anymore. And because of it, they couldn't do what they were meant to do because of a lack of communications. That's the Tower of Babel. We look forward now to Acts chapter 2. And there's an interesting thing that happens in chapter 2 of Acts. It's the festival of Pentecost. And in the festival of Pentecost, here's what happens in the festival of Pentecost. They were in the upper room. God, as Jesus promised, God sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us and among us. And when the Holy Spirit came, he reunited the languages. Now, I know that part of speaking in different tongues and languages is an interesting aspect of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's initial physical evidence of his indwelling in us. But there's more to it than that. And the more to it than that, it said people from all over the different areas, when they came and they saw what was going on, they understood in their own language what was being said. Where the Tower of Babel separated the languages, the day of Pentecost reunited the languages. And it put them back where people began to understand each other, and they began to understand God better. And it initiated this period of time called the dispensation or time frame of grace that we now live in. And because of the time frame of grace we now live in, one of the most important factors that we have is the ability to communicate with each other like we've never had before. The world is becoming a place that all over they begin to understand languages. My son has traveled a lot. He's been all over Europe, and been just a lot of different places. And he came back and said this. He said, You know, Dad, in Europe, you know what you call a person who can only speak one language? And I said, no. And he said, American. Everybody else speaks different languages, but in America, we expect everybody to speak English. And now we're picking up Spanish and different kinds of things. But the reuniting of languages to where the world now begins to understand what is going on. And there's a chance for communications to happen that we've never had before. And part of it is the day of Pentecost when that began to happen. So if it's important enough that God would utilize one of the three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to reestablish a communications, then what he's saying is that it's important to us and it's important to God that we begin to learn how to communicate. And it starts with, first of all, it starts with listening. You can never speak a language until you hear a language spoken. Here's a little something that will help us get through this. When the Word of God in Scripture becomes revelation, then we begin to understand the things that God wants us to understand. Guys, we're going to go into this a little deeper in the next little while, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about the when the sheep know my voice. This word called rapport. I don't know how they got rapport. It's spelled R-A-P-P-O-R-T, rapport. With the Father, our rapport with the Father by the Son through the Holy Spirit is an interesting item, and I wanted to get this right. By definition, the word rapport means this: a close, harmonious relationship in which the people or groups concerned understand each other's feelings or their ideas and communicate with each other well. And what God is saying to the disciples on the mountain there, when he said, listen to him, he's saying, I want you to develop a rapport with Jesus Christ. Commit your life to Christ this week. If you haven't accepted him as your Savior, pray this prayer. Say, God, I want you in my life. I accept Jesus as my Savior, and please forgive my sins, and he will.
What an experience those four disciples had on that mountain with God and Elijah, right?
Moses and Elijah, yes.
Yeah, Moses and Elijah. I mean, I was absolutely kidding with you a while ago when I said that was better than Disney World, because that's the best experience ever.
Yeah.
And yet for God to say, listen to him.
Yeah.
That's enough for anybody to say, God said it, we'll do it. Yep. And yet they still did not believe and doubted who Jesus was.
Yeah. I often look at that and I think of some of the most important things. Jesus said it's to love the Lord God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think right behind that is listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think is one of the greatest things that we can ever learn is how to hear the voice of God.
That's right. So just be available to hear him. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to us on Cowboy Church. We appreciate you very much. We'll see you next time.